boss comes up to me with a $5 bill, says, get you some whiskey, boy, and drink your fill.
Get thee behind me, Satan, travel on down the line. I am a union man, gonna leave you behind.
A red-headed woman took me out to dine, says, love me, baby, leave your union behind.
Get thee behind me, Satan, travel on down the line. I am a union man, gonna leave you behind.
Fellow workers, you're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM. Thin Air Community Radio. We'll be right back after a message from the Almanac Singers. Get thee behind me, Satan.
On the 4th of July, the politicians say, vote for us and we'll raise your pay.
Get thee behind me, Satan. Travel on down. Union man, gonna leave you behind.
Well, then the company union sent out a call. They said, join us in the summer, we'll forget you in the fall.
Get thee behind me, Satan, travel on down the line. I am a union man, gonna leave you behind.
If anyone should ask you your union to sell, just tell him where to go, send him back to hell.
Get thee behind me, Satan, travel on down the line. I am a union man, gonna leave you behind.
We gather acknowledging that we are on the ancestral lands of the Spokane Tribe of Indians, and a multitude of tribes who are connected through shared history of trade, celebration, and resources. We make this acknowledgement to pay respects to their elders, past and present, whose knowledge remains on these lands. Please take a moment to consider the many legacies of violence, displacement, migration, and settlement that bring us together today. Join our community as we continue to learn about such truths, and so we can take direct actions in solidarity with Native peoples towards restorative justice. Welcome to Solidarity Spokane, the show built by workers for workers. I'm your host, Cat Sabotage. It is my pleasure to be here with Captain Maeve Griffith, host of Out and About, Tuesdays at 4 on KYRS on the maiden voyage of the Inland Northwest's local labor hour. Captain Maeve has been showing me the ropes and making sure I don't derail the whole dang endeavor before it's even left the station, and has been an incredibly valuable friend and instructor throughout this entire process. I cannot thank you enough, Maeve.
My pleasure, and we're just so lucky to have you here, and looking forward to, I've been a member of a union almost all my life, so I'm looking forward to learning more about my union brothers and sisters.
Amen, and we could always hear more from them. I also want to thank KYRS's program director, Dana Matthews, for giving me the keys to the air and the opportunity to come and speak to you about issues affecting workers in the Pacific Northwest and around the world. Truly, there has been no greater time to be active and involved in labor organizing in the last 50 years than right now. Since the fragmentation of the great social movements of the 1960s, there's been a concerted attack on organized labor, from capital interests in government, which has whittled away at our civil liberties, stagnating wages, eroding decades of bled-for progress in working and socioeconomic conditions for what many of us now know as the 99%. Costs for necessities like education, healthcare, and housing have increased 149%, 3,658%, and 925%, respectively, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. But what of wages, rising only a paltry 6.4% in the same time frame, 50 years? There seems to be a problem there, but We'll cover that more in shows to come. Later in the program today, we will be speaking with members of the UFCW Local 3000 Organizing Committee, also known as the United Food and Commercial Workers, who are right now engaged in a struggle to win recognition for their union at a local marijuana producer. Stick around for that. Before we get there, I just want to take a moment to get to know you and to tell you who I am and why I'm here. My name is Cat Sabotage. I am a grandson of Tom Joad. I am a saboteur, an anarchist, here to remind you that you are being gaslighted, here to remind you that you have human rights, here to remind you that you have immeasurable strength together, here to remind you that we can build a better world through direct action on the shop floor. I am the last Spokane Wobbly, for now. Friend of the working class, enemy of the bosses and brass. I enjoy sunny nooks and labor books, talking about bosses getting their payrolls shook. I'm fighting capital by hook and by crook. I'm fruit of the tree of farmers, machinists, and caregivers shook. Student of Stout and Lind and Howard Zinn, earning my living, typing with my hands and tramping out the garden of all those Ayn Rands. Advocating for people over profit and community over capital. I've traveled the American West and some of the rest, and I here have tales to tell. Tales of totalitarian totality, all based in reality, of love over hate, freedom over fright, and a little bit more left over that lot of bit of right. I'm professing of the pacifist fight, environmentalist all day and all night. I am for solidarity over lonely islands of individuality. So what about that word, solidarity? It has a few different meanings to a few different people. For some, namely the owners, it means trouble. But for others, namely everybody else, it means survival. Some take solidarity with the earth and defend her from those who would exsanguinate her body until every dollar is gone. Some take solidarity with the lost and injured fellow workers who wander our streets at night, all used up. Some take solidarity with a family member who has, like the prodigal son, wandered away and is just looking for a way to come back home. Some take solidarity with their fellow workers and, using direct action, move in unison to break the chains of servitude which has been imposed on them from above. That's the solidarity I mean to promote here. And those are your stories that I am looking for. Still, some others take solidarity with the state and knowingly use our courts and tax dollars to win bigger payrolls for mostly men who already own several companies while cutting out the very bottom line for fellow citizens who can't even afford a single home. Even others take solidarity with the gun and with its cowardly might take from others what was never theirs to take. I'm not talking about those kinds. We all have a choice. Here is an hour built to hear the voices in Spokane and our community that are fighting that good fight, who may not be immortalized with their name plastered on libraries from Buffalo to Bellevue, but who may be quietly working to put bread on the table for many hungry mouths and trying every day to keep up that good fight. This is an hour to hear from you, to hear from the voices of the fabled essential workers, who no one in a state house wants to hear from except on election day. But no, fellow workers, you and your families have built this great country brick by brick, and we have been shut out from the spoils of our labor. We can see the effects of inequality eroding our great cities before our very eyes, and yet we have changed not the outcome. Here's your weekly reminder that the average person is going to live 692,040 hours if you're lucky enough to live 79 years, which right now is higher than the average lifespan of an American these days. Maybe it's the food. Let's knock out two-thirds for sleep, or 456,746 hours, and then let's take out those first 20 years because you really don't have much autonomy or liberty to set out and make your way just yet, or 57,816 hours, that'd be, which leaves 177,474 hours of livable life left. The average American worker will spend 90,000 hours working, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. That leaves you with a precious 87,478 hours. Remember, that's if you lived 79. So we gotta make them count. You all have incredible power inside you. You deserve happiness, equity, and justice in every combination of your life. Marital combinations, workplace combinations, friendly combinations, and even personal combinations. You must be kind to yourself as well as to others. The hardest thing to do some days, I think. Together we can build a world and workplaces where democracy is commonplace and banish those totalitarian institutions that have taken so much from us. After our show today, go and create big, beautiful works of art. Go and create big, beautiful love. Fail big if you must fail. And remember, a better world is a-coming, but we need direct action to get us there. Here is an hour built for you. If you have a job worth telling, or a story worth sharing, or you just have some thoughts, please email them to me at solidaritiespokane@kyrs.org. Come sit with me in the chair, and let's hear what you're working on. And now for the labor report. Labor unions are continuing to take Starbucks to task, making sure that they ended up being the subject of six, count 'em, six National Labor Relations Board decisions in a case summary released earlier this week. The most notable, and probably the funniest, coming out of Pennsylvania, the board rejected Starbucks' argument that the two unlawfully discharged employees were disqualified from full remedy because they had secretly recorded workplace conversations with their supervisors in violation of Starbucks work rules and Pennsylvania state law, and would have been discharged if Starbucks had been aware of that recording. The board reaffirmed its earlier finding that the discriminatees recorded those conversations to defend themselves against retaliation for their protected activities, and that their recording activity was therefore protected under Section 7, and that the state law banning secret recording was preempted in this situation. Stick that in your coffee and drink it. USPS and the Teamsters fight is only getting hotter. In a punditry fiasco, CNBC reported on air this week with Donald Broughton, principal managing partner of Broughton Capital LLC, and self-proclaimed inspirational speaker and believer, lamenting the fate of the freight. Broughton calling the Teamsters president a bully worse than Trump. No mention, high nor low, of how workers are feeling or being disadvantaged or anything that might have happened to them to lead to this catastrophic fiasco. But there was plenty of concern about what should happen to stock prices if the Teamsters actually succeed in unionizing Amazon. Oh my goodness, no. Not those stock prices. The Guardian reported that a teenager just 16 years old was killed in a sawmill in Wisconsin last week. And as many states continue to roll back regulations on child labor, 14 to the nearest count, we have to ask if we're going to see more and more of these events. And are we only paying attention now because we're having to renegotiate for our children's welfare after many, many hard-won years? Then, coming totally out of left field, Fox News reported that a group of children forsook their earthly possessions to find faith in a labor camp in the woods. I have nothing else to say about that, fellow workers. I think that pretty much speaks for itself. AP News reports that the Hollywood writer strike has now passed its 50th day, and the Writers Guild is hopeful that they will begin to win concessions, and we do hope that is true. Showing solidarity with the Hollywood writer strike, skipping over Fox News, and solidarity with the family of that young teenager who was killed in Wisconsin as they mourn their loss. And the USPS Teamsters fight, showing solidarity with the Teamsters, and to all of those unions continuing to stick it to Starbucks. We love them very much. Now, without further ado, we are going to go to a quick break. And then we are going to jump right in to our interview, which was pre-recorded with the members of the UFCW Local 3000. I was able to sit down with three workers on the organizing committee and several representatives from the union who talk about their struggle and their experiences as they try to unionize and win a better place at work for their fellow workers. Stick around, please.
Join me, Captain Maeve, as we head out and about, featuring LGBTQ folk, friends, allies, and all who make Spokane a better place through inclusion, creativity, truth, and beauty. Local stories, conversations, and creations with universal appeal. Out and about, every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on KYRS.
Hi, this is Jeremy Whittington from Stage Left Theater. KYRS, Thin Air Community Radio, provides our region with information that might be omitted, overlooked, or even censored by mainstream media. Your radio station is powered by the communities they serve, and our radio programs are as rich and diverse as the Spokane community itself. Please make a pledge today by texting GIVE KYRS to 44321. Your support ensures that KYRS can continue to celebrate the rich diversity of our community.
Rivers Wish Animal Sanctuary is holding its annual online Art for Animals auction July 13th through the 16th. Go to riverswishanimalsanctuary.org for more information. I am very, very pleased to welcome into the studio with us today members of the UFCW 3000 Organizing Committee who are right now working on organizing Fat Panda. And I'm joined in the studio by Josh Kelsch, the project organizer, and by Shannon Corrick, who is a local canvasser and community organizer with the UFCW. And then sitting with me, I've got three members, Mike, Tom, and Stan. Welcome to the show, guys.
Glad to be here.
So I want to just start by asking a general question. What made you guys decide that forming a union was the way to go?
Well, originally we wanted to go on strike. We were planning on going on a unionless strike, and we got to looking at like the laws that protect you behind, you know, doing something like that, and it's very bleak. There's not a whole lot of protection behind that. And coincidentally, we actually ended up finding out that the UFCW has a cannabis team, because originally we didn't know that, you know, unions would support, you know, a cannabis.
Yeah, thought they wouldn't touch them.
Yeah, but it was, yeah. I had a cousin who knows one of the members and reached out to us, and yeah.
Okay. And what were the things that kind of instigated that? Like, what led to you saying to yourselves, you know, this isn't how I should be treated, this isn't right, you know, what were kind of the things that led up to that?
Well, there are a gigantic laundry list of reasons. I had seen people that were out on medical leave that as soon as they slipped up in some form with paperwork or forgot to call in, completely valid reasons to be out of work. They're eager to get rid of you the moment that they have a chance. If you're not there one day, they don't want you. So
replaceable.
Yeah. They have a very large mindset that quantity is more important over quality, especially when it comes to labor. So they've always had a revolving door type of employment policy. We'd rather pay people much lower and just keep getting fresh new 21-year-olds eager to be in the cannabis industry, then, you know, pay quality workers higher wages and retain them for longer time because we could save ourselves more money.
Right. And I don't imagine that there's any shortage of people that they can just turn around and remind you that you're replaceable with. I've been in that situation before myself, you know, where, you know,
yeah, definitely.
If I, and the weird thing too is like the culture that some businesses try and rally around, and they try and remind you that you're part of a big family and yeah, Everybody's all kumbaya and things are good. And then all of a sudden you realize that you're just a cog in a wheel at the end of the day on paper. And that can be really dehumanizing on some level.
No, definitely. A lot of us have always noticed after working at that facility for a long time, you really get that indoctrination. They really pour the Kool-Aid strong and heavy for you when you start there at your orientation, but everybody finds their point. For me, it was about 6 months. The time seems to be getting sooner for new hires where those rose-tinted glasses start really fading and they see all of the awful treatment of employees, mishandling of, you know, products, general unethical practices, and they just really realize it's not what it was all cracked up to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you were saying that, that at that point you said, you know, we want to go on strike. You know, we're having a we want to do something, which is a collective act of free speech. It's you coming together and deciding, you know, I can't do it by myself. I need my coworkers to come and stand with me so that we can talk about these issues. And unfortunately, it's not all kumbaya. You can't just sit down and have that conversation with your manager or your boss and have them say, oh, yeah, let me get right on that and in the trash bin, you know. Exactly. So, I mean, and it's an intimidating thing, you know, because I think a lot of people feel the way you guys feel out there. They feel like they want to take action. They want to do something. So when you approached that and you thought you wanted to go on strike, I mean, where did you find the resources for that? How did you get connected with the UFCW? What did that look like?
So looking online, I did quote unquote research, I would not count myself as reliable in that regard. If we actually did go through with the strike, we probably all would have gotten fired.
Yeah, and that was a risk some of us were debating because they were already looking for different jobs in the first place. So
yeah, and it was, I want to say, June 29th of last year. My cousin reached out to me and he asked, like, hey, do you still work at Fat Panda? And I said, yeah. I'm like, why do you ask? And he's like, well, my roommate's mom works for the UFCW and they have a cannabis team. And that was like, oh, really? You know, like, can we get a hold of them? It's like, yeah. And then, you know, that's kind of where it took off, really. Shannon got me in contact with her boss, right, Tip? And then I had an hour-long phone call with a higher-up with the UFCW, and then he came down the following week, and there was a group of six of us that got to meet up with him.
So there were six of you that got together, and were those from, like, different departments, or who was it that was getting together?
Yeah, we had everybody from basically the whole farm, including all the way out in the warehouse, which I guess is separate from the farm, actually show up to this meeting. We had a really solid spread of people. And, you know, we met up at Market Street Pizza right across from the UFCW and had a good time. And following that, you know, we had pretty solid numbers in our turnout ever since then. And going to Market Street is a place we visited in the beginning, but then, you know, over time, you know, we started to mix stuff up. And
it's having one of those safe places too, you know, and yeah, having one of those places where you can go and you can actually speak freely. It's one of those strange things about, you know, our workplace cultures, is that free speech is not necessarily always encouraged or feel safe.
Unfortunately.
Like, everybody almost became like a different person when we were meeting. Like, they relax and, you know, could talk about what ailed them at work and, you know, everything that was bothering them. And yeah,
and that makes you want to come back, and that's part of that community building. Absolutely. And I'm glad that you had a connection with the UFCW through that person who was able to connect you. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, me too.
and Tom over here, we were just talking about something that kind of made you Tom's over here. Okay, yeah. Tom's over there. So Stan's here. Yeah. Stan's here. Okay, Stan, yeah. You were telling me something that happened to you at work. What was that? Can you tell me that?
Yeah. So shortly after I had started working there, I started to have lung issues, so I had to miss a lot of work.
What was that about, the lung issues?
I want to say it's similar to asthma. I'm pretty sure it is.
Mm-hmm.
Pre-existing or reactive to the workplace?
It wasn't existing, no. It only started shortly after I was hired on. I was having breathing issues for it. I've had inhalers. I'm on some type of inhaled steroid for it.
And all that seemed to start after you started working.
Yeah, like not even a couple weeks. And so, there was actually a story. I was talking to an employee, and he had a similar experience as me, and he was leaving because of it, in hopes that it would clear up. So there's other people at that place, from what I've heard, that have similar problems going on.
And what did that feel like to you? I mean, when you got off work and you went home and you were dealing with it, I mean, were you scared? Were you confused? I mean, there's a couple things that can be wrong with you, and when breathing is one of them, that definitely scares the socks off of you.
Yeah, sometimes I'd wake up in the middle of the night with like an asthma attack, and I'd have to like slowly breathe deeply. Well, I felt like I was kind of choking, so I had to like calm myself down, and it was not good for my psyche.
And I imagine you missed a little bit of work because of that.
Oh, quite a bit. Yes, quite a bit.
What happened then? When you started missing work, what happened?
Got a talking to from my superior, and got a write-up for it because I had missed some work prior, and brought in the doctor note to pretty much excuse me for it. Mm-hmm. It was an urgent care note, and it was rejected because I had a corrective conversation with my boss earlier, and it felt like it was retaliation for that incident.
And because you're affecting production.
Yes.
You're not able to show up. You're not able to, you know, produce. So
yes, but so far they have accepted every single other excuse I have provided from that same place.
That's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. So it's not all bad, but that was the main driving factor.
You mentioned, too, that wasn't an issue that you felt like was isolated to you. You mentioned that you felt like that was something common that you guys are experiencing. Mike, Tom, do you guys?
Yeah, I actually had a buddy who was a coworker for a few months. He actually went to the hospital twice for his asthma. He had asthma beforehand, but during his, I want to say, 6 months working at Panda, he actually, you know, had asthma attacks while there.
Mm-hmm. And so when they were doing the work, and when you're doing that work around the plants, I mean, you're working with fertilizers, you're working with other kinds of chemicals, ostensibly. I don't know anything about the growing process, so I need you to lead me here. Yeah. And tell me a little bit about like that process, like what's going on.
So none of us here actually work directly with the plants.
Okay.
We're all in like supportive departments. I think a big thing for a lot of people with lung issues has been the mold in the facility.
Mm-hmm.
There's been reported cases of mold, like growing in the water fountain, growing on the walls, growing on the ceiling of the locker rooms. And I think another part that plays into that, which is actually kind of innate to cannabis, is actually like the keef that gets kicked up into the air.
Mm-hmm.
That can actually cause, you know, lung issues. And so that's something that not a whole lot of people working there know about.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they'd find out that, oh, shit, you know, this is poisoning me. You know, nobody told me to wear a respirator when doing these tasks or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they wouldn't find out until it was too late.
And just out of fairness, and to say that these are all accounts, other people's opinions, and are in no way necessarily the opinion of KYRS or even of this show. But this is a story being told by people in the community who have seen it and who have lived it. So we're here to show solidarity with that. This idea about like what you guys are doing is so rad, because you're getting relationships with workers, and you're helping them fight for a better workplace. And how does that make you feel? I mean, you mentioned You mentioned Mike being afraid, you know, at the onset of all these things. And I imagine that all of you have faced those experiences and heard complaints from workers who are talking about stuff that makes them afraid. I mean, have you had any conversations with people like that? And what has that been like? How's that gone?
Oh yeah. I've had so many conversations with people around that whole facility, various levels of department leadership. Well, not management, but, you know, all through the tiers of all different departments over there. And one concern a lot of people had is they're scared that they might lose their job. Everybody's scared that taking action against such a big entity, there's no way it can work. If you're just one person, what difference can you make? Because a lot of people don't realize we're all just one person, but a bunch of individual people together can actually do that. And a lot of people were just too scared of the individual risk.
And that's exactly the point. Yeah. I mean, when you're standing alone, it gets really easy to swipe your legs.
Yeah.
But then you band around 500 people, you're going to need something a lot bigger to swipe those legs. Absolutely. And one of the biggest things is that fear of losing your job. I mean, because all of us, like, you know, I'm no Daddy Warbucks over here. I'm afraid of the same thing. You know, we're all teetering like right there. And you hear it in media all the time where they say such and such percentage of the population is living paycheck to paycheck. And doesn't that really seem manufactured in a way? I mean, it seems to make sense to keep people from doing exactly what you're doing and to keep them afraid and to keep them in that spot where it makes you easy to pick off and say, you know, no, we're just going to accept what we have to, because that's the nature of the beast.
Yep.
So where does the project stand right now? Like what's going on, like, on the ground? I know Josh was mentioning earlier that you guys have had two union votes, and of course the company is not gonna sit down and go, well, I'm so happy you told me. Thank you so much for your valid opinion. I would love to recognize that. They're gonna say, we'll see you in court. Which is what they have been doing. And, you know, you guys are taking this to the NLRB and you're going to fight it. So what's going on? Like, how's that going?
So we've had the first batch of unfair labor practices and terminations have actually been deliberated by the NLRB as of right now.
These are all individual charges.
Yes, there was about 18 of them. And it was basically everything leading up to the election, and that's been deliberated on. Right now we're waiting to hear, you know, kind of hear back on when the NLRB is going to finally deliberate on the actual election, as well as all the, you know, ULPs they file or that we filed after the election, you know, all the people they, you know, kicked out the door right after the election. And then after that, I believe there's going to be a third section for all the ULPs that they did to the other micro unit for the sales team.
Mm-hmm. And this is with the support of the UFCW.
Oh, exactly. And to further underscore, not only are there just unfair labor practice charges levied against them, but some of these charges, the National Labor Relations Board itself had never seen an employer do the level of stuff that they've done at various points throughout this whole election process. It was so completely novel that they didn't have any policies or procedures to figure out how to deal with the stunts they pulled.
And, you know, that seems to be a theme with a lot of the stuff that's going on in these labor fights now. They're getting recategorized, and the tactics are changing, as they always have, since the inception of the labor capital struggle. That those issues have come up and been fought back and forth. And, you know, it's uncharted territory. I wonder, too, if you guys know anything about the fact that a lot of you folks are agricultural workers. Is that right? or they're trying to paint you as agricultural workers?
Exactly.
I saw a lot of heads shaking where there's some contention about that.
Not a single member of the groups that have filed for an election so far has classified as an agricultural worker. They have gone and tried to assert that certain specific individuals cherry-picked among their departments would be classified as agricultural workers, despite the people they're not choosing in the same department fulfilling the same roles. They are not agricultural workers.
Mm-hmm.
So really inconsistent assertion that non-ag workers are ag workers, just to try and influence, you know, election outcomes, what's counted.
I was just reading today on The Guardian, they had an interesting thing about these new child labor laws that a lot of the states are trying to pass, like 14 of the states are trying to move back on child labor laws, and there have been a lot of lax regulations, child labor regulations around ag workers and, you know, other regulations and other things like that. I think that's kind of obvious when you look at it, but they, for some reason, and we'll probably do a show on this later, that they focus on ag workers in a much different way than others. So by categorizing those workers in that way, it makes them less susceptible to that kind of retaliation and legal blowback.
Yeah, because functionally you have less rights as a worker classified mm-hmm. as an agricultural worker. So you can get away with a lot more.
Yeah, you're just trying to feed and house and shelter the population. I mean, why would you protect that? It seems absurd.
It's not essential. No.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all.
Give me back my job again. Now I don't want.
Hi, I'm Madeline, and I like dragonflies because I love different subjects that we get to explore. Tune in on Dragonflies on Thin Air every Sunday at 3 on KYRS Medical Lake Spokane 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS is grateful for the many listeners who have donated their vehicles to us. You can join them by donating your unwanted car, truck, minivan, motorcycle, and more. Vehicles are picked up free of charge, sold, and the proceeds help KYRS bring you the programs you know and love. It's easy to donate your vehicle, and it's tax deductible. Just call our toll-free line to arrange a free pickup. 855 KYRS car. That's 855-597-7227.
I kind of want to open it up for you guys to talk about what this experience is kind of like meant for you and like what it's taught you about the process and like what you're hoping to see. Like if everything went 100% according to plan, this was the best possible outcome. What would that look like to you guys?
Well, I'd like to see everybody make at least the average of what people make in Spokane, ideally above that. But, you know, I'll shoot for average if it means that we also get, you know, like a pension, 401k, just better PSL accumulation. I mean, we make one hour.
And you're talking about paid sick leave.
Yeah, yeah, we make 1 hour per 40 hours worked, so it's
just standard state minimum.
Yeah, one day off every 2 months, so it'd be nice to get that up, especially for people that work with hazardous materials like those of us in, you know, ESS. Honestly, just a safer, better compensated work environment has always been the goal. And, I mean, ideally, I'd like to see something done about the work culture, but I'm not sure there's any way that you can it really enforce that, you know?
Yeah. If you have workers that have more of a say in the culture, I think the workers can make the culture too. I mean, and that should be an input that you guys have total control over also, because I mean, I was just doing the math today and I think it's about 600,000 hours that the average person's going to live, and we spend 90,000 of them at work. And then you got to shave off 2/3 just to sleep. But I mean, there's that, I mean, we spend so much of our time at work, and I mean, we only get this amount of time on our planet, you know, to do what we're going to do and to fall in love and to raise our families and to experience this sounds cheesy, but the bounty of life, you know? And I mean, here on the other hand, you've got these institutions, the totalitarian employers who want to minimize all of that in the pursuit of profit and, you know, kind of use your bodies as tools and do that. And, it's good to have those goals and to focus on them. And it's not like you're asking for the house, you know, you're not asking for the keys to the house. You're saying, I'd like to make the average wage that is made in the Spokane area. I mean, have decent time to leave work and be sick.
I'd like to not have to choose between groceries and rent for this month. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to be able to afford both at least.
Yeah, I prefer to be treated as a person rather than a part.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to stop seeing people having to quit because they can't afford to work there anymore.
Yeah, watch your workers, your fellow workers leave. And I mean, that's the other thing too, is like these relationships that we make at work. I mean, I remember working in the restaurant business and some of those people that I met, I mean, I still talk to from time to time, but they hold a good place in my heart. You know, those folks, they were there for me when I needed them. They're there for us through all of our, you know, sicknesses and all of our life events. And then, you know, and we do have to say goodbye to them after a point, but to hear your coworker come to you and tell you, I can't stay here anymore because they're not treating me well and I can't live, you know, that's not.
Yeah. Once is enough, but it has happened way more than that. Way too often.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lost a lot of good friends that I would have never met if I hadn't worked there that mm-hmm. just couldn't take it any longer. And I'd been there myself plenty of times, but you know, I was too committed to making a change to give in to that, and it took them fabricating a reason to get me out of there
mm-hmm.
to remove me from that situation.
So you were fired?
I was, yes. That was my Christmas present from the company this last year.
Oh, Christmas.
Yeah.
Ah, like the 1913 massacre of Woody Guthrie fame. That's nice. That's just beautiful.
Yeah.
It was. Did they gift wrap it? Was it in paper, or did they just like send you an email?
It was in paper. It was an in-person meeting.
Okay.
You know, at first, can I outline the details of that? If we got time for what happened that they used to fire me?
You can. Absolutely.
Sure. Well, being a maintenance individual myself,
mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, inclined to help people if somebody has something broken they don't know how to fix.
Yeah.
I'd love to help them with it. And there was one day in the middle of winter, you know, it was 11 degrees outside. There was a certain individual who had broken a leg very recently and was stuck out in the 11 degree weather. I had a superior call me outside to come help. Didn't say what it was. They had a flat tire. I gladly assisted them change their flat tire. They were super thankful. And I came back in afterwards, and somebody was like talking really fast, like they were really confused and really concerned with what was going on. And I asked what was happening, and they were telling me that I had broken the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And I said I wasn't aware it was a rule, but if the issue was being on the clock like they said it was, I'd gladly waive my time. I just want to be in compliance with the rules. I helped them because I felt it was the right thing to do.
So you said, don't pay me for the hours.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
apologize. I've been made aware of the issue.
Yeah, I even wrote up a fully exhaustive liability waiver myself to help make sure that they weren't liable for any damages, which they were worried about as well.
Okay.
And, you know, after all that was said and done, I had a conversation with my manager, and I explained the situation, said that nobody told me it was a rule until after I was done.
Mm-hmm.
My manager told me, okay, well, then you're not in trouble. Just don't let it happen again.
Okay.
And that was the point where I offered to waive my time. And he said, oh, no, please don't do that. You're fine. You're not in any trouble. That was right before Christmas break. I come back the day after Christmas, work through my whole day, get called into the office. Same supervisor that told me I wasn't in trouble tells me, we did an internal investigation. We found that you were told it was a rule before going and doing the work. And we found you in essentially contempt of instruction from a superior, which is insubordination. Mm-hmm. And we're terminating you for this reason.
Mm-hmm. And Washington State's an at-will employment.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So they bent the facts of the story a little bit to help fit the narrative to make sure that I got out of there. Because...
Do you think there was an ulterior reason?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And this has been brought to the attention of the National Labor Relations Board. I was very adamant that their reason for terminating me was for my involvement organizing with the UFCW 3000, trying to bring a union into our workplace to have everyone represented and actually have a say in things. And I had strong reason to believe through the grapevine, various screenshots of text conversations, all kinds of different reasons to believe that somehow they found out that I was involved with the union.
Mm-hmm.
And they targeted me to have me removed from the workplace. That case, that charge was filed with the NLRB, essentially a charge saying that they fired me for unionizing.
Yeah, and they used a pretext.
Yeah, exactly. Back in January, February, sometime like that. It's all been a blur. But
I'd imagine.
I just finally got the news this last week. I got a call from the National Labor Relations Board. They called me up, said they'd reached a decision on my case, and they did in fact find that Fat Panda terminated me for my union organizing involvement.
What did that feel like? When you had that person make that phone call to you and they told you you're not crazy? You know, because I feel like we get gaslit. Like
exactly.
In the workplace, you find out, you get told this stuff from management, yeah. And there's all this legal stuff, and they're trying to protect themselves, and it's like they're at war with you, and they're using this language, and they're saying things in a certain way.
Yeah,
I mean, what did that feel like?
Yeah, I mean, literally, my manager had given me that talk, telling me I was fired, telling me the events weren't as I remembered them. It did make me question whether or not I was crazy and I was just remembering it wrong. So mm-hmm. To finally get that call from the NLRB after 6 months to the date, ironically, it was June 26th, 6 months after I'd been terminated on December 26th.
Dude.
So that was a perfect...
December 26th?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It kind of ruined Christmas this last year. That much I'll tell you. But
well, this one's fit to be a better one.
Mm-hmm. So getting that news was a gigantic weight off my shoulders. I'd been worrying for so long.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I was wrong. Maybe it was how they said it was. Maybe I just imagined that somebody found out about my union involvement. I had to be so secretive for so
maybe
long.
Maybe I've never been in a union. Maybe exactly. This is all a dream.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What are unions? And just to hear that and the type of compensation that was to start negotiations with my employer for me to receive after that, that was really, really big.
Wow. I'm really, really happy that the story had that outcome. I mean, and the thing about it is waiting so long between those decisions. And you know, you file it and then you move on and you sit on it. And then you just it's just kind of hanging over your head for that long, long period of time.
Yeah.
That's really great. And you guys, did anything like this happen to you? Tom and Mike?
Stan, Mike, Tom.
Stan, Mike, Tom.
Close enough, I guess.
You may have surmised that these names are new to the listeners at home. So we're all getting acquainted. We're meeting each other.
Yeah, but a little bit before this, I'd gotten fired not even a week and a half.
A week and a half ago?
Yep.
Very recently.
Yep, very recently.
This conversation must be a little hard for you to have. Those kinds of things, they sit for a while.
Yeah, it's been like that. But there's also a little bit of a relief, I feel like, because it's just, I feel like it's like a release of, I don't have this over my shoulder anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Just how it feels.
How are you sleeping?
Much better. Much, much better. Much better.
That's a win.
Yeah, very.
Do you think that that was related to the stuff that you were doing for the UFCW also?
Somewhat, yeah. I do believe. I was a very avid and open union supporter.
Mm-hmm.
I wore my shirt to work. I had it on my badge. I was very open and talkative about it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was the main reason that propelled the reason for termination.
Okay. And it definitely puts a target on you.
Yeah.
For sure.
Definitely. It's a great shield, but it's a great target too.
Yeah. That being said, I mean, we've talked about some of the pitfalls that come with this kind of endeavor. And, you know, you guys are doing really, really good work. My question to you is, there are people listening today who are probably like in the spot that you guys were in, you know, 8 months ago or whatever time frame it was where you were feeling really isolated and not connected to these kinds of organizations. I mean, if you could like one at a time tell me like what would you say to workers in your community to help them do what you are doing? And would you say that it's worth it?
Yeah, would absolutely. I think we can all agree it's totally worth it. It comes at a cost. Whenever you go to make a great change, there's every action is always going to have a consequence.
Yep. You can't have progress without a price.
Yeah. Sometimes the price can be a little higher than we're comfortable with, but I would tell those people, as long as you do believe in organizing and the power of your voice and the rest of the people that you work with agree, it is well worth the risk, well worth the employer slander, well worth all of the bad stuff and union busting and all kinds of negative stuff and treatment that you're going to have to deal with. So it is absolutely worth it. And I'm, quite frankly, I'm disappointed. They did, in fact, bring in some union busting agents after my termination.
Yeah,
after my termination. So I never got to see any of it. I would have loved to have had a conversation with these guys. They sound like a hoot.
Oh, yeah. They're really marshmallows and kittens.
Want to be your best friend from what it sounds like.
But that is an angle nowadays. And back in the day, I think they had a ball of lead inside of a leather strap. But, you know, times they have changed a little bit. What you're saying is that the pitfalls are there and there are real consequences. But you're saying you would do it again in a heartbeat.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I've heard about some other unionizing efforts at other workplaces that I'm familiar with, and I've been very tempted myself to try and get involved there, but I gotta say, after being fired once, it ain't easy for a while after that.
Everybody does have their contribution and their limit.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, most definitely. And go ahead. Yeah.
I was just gonna say I definitely do also recommend, you know, organizing your workplace. You know, while the road is, you know, difficult, you know, the amount of community that you build is, I mean, I've made so many friends through all this. It's just been insane. I've never had like a larger group of like close friends before. But like the best advice I could give to somebody is honestly to, you know, you kind of got to overcome that fear and, you know, reach out to a union. Even if they don't, you know, even if they don't wouldn't cover you, you know, because you're outside their industry, I mean, they most likely would direct you to one that would, because, you know, a lot of people that work in unions are actually genuinely kind, compassionate people that want to, you know, help unionize your workplace. And so it, you know, reaching out is scary, but it's honestly the best thing you can do if you're just even thinking about it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with that one. Helping the union has made me a lot of friends and a lot of good memories that I can think of. And while it hasn't been easy, it's good to know that they are very supportive and there are uplifters as well as the downlifters for the price, you know, it kind of helps soften it.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, I really, really appreciate you coming on and talking to me. For the people at home, we are recording this at 10 p.m. This is not, and this is like a weekday. Mm. Like, these guys came in here to talk to us at 10 p.m. on a weekday and share their stories. And I cannot tell you how grateful that I am that you did.
Very glad to be here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I look forward to having you on again in the future. As things progress, things have changed. We can have another talk about this at another time. But I wish you guys all the best, and thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you.
Those were the organizing committee from the UFCW Local 3000. If you're interested in getting connected to them, you can look them up online. I was a privilege to sit with those fine gentlemen in the studio and discuss their experiences. As you can see, it's not always a straight line to equity in the workplace, and it does require a little bit of investment and a little bit of sacrifice. But the relationships that you build along the way are well worth it, according to those guys, and I'm very grateful that they trusted me enough to come on and share their story with me. I very much appreciate them. And remember, this is your weekly reminder that you've got 87,478 hours. Make them count. Love big. Fail big. This is an hour built for you. If you have a job worth telling and a story worth sharing, or you just have some thoughts, please come and sit in my chair and let's talk about what you do for work. I'm Cat Sabotage. You have a great weekend. A great week.
Divine, and who is in love makes up the